Welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. Capital Square is a national real estate investment and development company with its headquarters right here in Richmond, Virginia. The Real Estate Show emphasizes topics of interest to real estate, locally and nationally. Thanks to WRVA for over 45 episodes on tax-advantaged real estate investments. I'm your host, Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square. Today, we're talking about the horrific disease, multiple sclerosis, or MS. We have two special guests, Sherry Ellis, President, National MS Society, Greater Richmond Chapter, it's a long title, and Dr. Myla Goldman, Division Chief for Neuroimmunology, VCU School of Medicine.
And I am Jacqueline Rogers, Chief Communications Officer at Capital Square, and today's co-host. For those of you who are wondering how this relates to real estate, this is the Real Estate Show, after all. Well, stay tuned, and we will explain. But first, let's introduce our esteemed guests.
First, Sherry Ellis, the president of the Virginia West Virginia chapter of National MS Society. Sherry has served in this capacity for 14 years. She's led her chapter through two mergers and a number of other activities. Her priorities are to ensure the annual Dinner of Champions honors a true leader in the Greater Richmond community. Over the past 35 years, money raised by the Dinner of Champions has played a significant part in the advancement of MS research, providing services and resources to anyone affected by MS to live their best lives. We also have Dr. Myla Goldman, who joins us from VCU School of Medicine as the Division Chief for Neuroimmunology, a term I have a hard time saying, and a bio that is about 3 pages long. So in the interest of time, Jacqueline.
Welcome, Sherry and Dr. Goldman, and thank you for bringing to light such a deserving cause. At this point, many of our real estate enthusiasts are saying, but really, what does this have to do with real estate? As we mentioned in Sherry's bio, the National MS Society hosts an annual premier black tie event called the Dinner of Champions. Each year, a community leader in the Greater Richmond area is recognized for their significant impact on the community. This year, our very own Lewis Rogers has been selected as an honoree. The Dinner of Champions raises awareness and critical funding to support research and programs for the 1 million people who are living with MS in the United States. Before we go too deep, I would love to hear from Sherry with some background on this disease and paint the picture on how the MS Society is working to solve this horrific disease through initiatives such as Dinner of Champions.
Well, thank you so much, Lewis and Jacqueline, for inviting Myla and I to be here with you today. You know, multiple sclerosis is a disease that there is no cure, and it affects the central nervous system. And it's also known as a snowflake disease, where each of us in this room and each of our listeners could have MS, and it would affect them a little differently. Some would have mirrored symptoms, but some are very, very different. One of the things that the National MS Society has done over the last couple of years has brought together the world's brightest scientists, brought together people affected by MS with different levels of progression, and really decided to change our mission statement. And this year, we launched our new mission statement that says we will cure multiple sclerosis.
Cure. Win the cure.
Yeah, and you know, you think about that, what kind of hope that brings to people that are affected by MS. And what that means is that it wasn't just, let's just say that, let's just put that in our mission statement as we hope to have it. We put together a 3-year pathway to cures. And 3 years means we're gonna stop the disease in its tracks. We want to learn by early detection. We want to restore the functions that's been lost.
So stop it so no one ever has to go through this in the future.
Right. And their kids aren't having to worry about hearing they have MS. We want to make sure that people affected by MS never have to hear
million
those words.
People.
Yeah. And then end it forever, right? So how do we make sure that those functions, so stop, restore, and end, are our 3 main pillars. But the reasons of the Dinner of Champions, a big purpose is to honor people like you, Lewis, that have made such a great stake in our Greater Richmond community, that really reaches up and invest in their community outreach, our community impact. And MS is affected so much by this dinner that raises over $250,000 each year. And now we really fuel our research for the cures, but one of the pieces that we put together on our mission statement was a 3-year plan for pathways to cures. That's powerful, that is impactful. It really affects people, those 1 million people across our country that say, wow, that's me. How can I make a difference? And how can I get involved?
Wow. This is such a wonderful organization, and we're truly honored for Capital Square to be part of this endeavor to cure MS. So, Sherry, would you please enlighten us on why you selected Lewis as an honoree?
You know, our board chair, Blake Manners, has worked with Lewis and brought his name forth to our committee and just said, you know, who is at that high level of impact, making a difference in the greater Richmond region, and really is a champion, can get really behind a huge cause like multiple sclerosis with such a passion and mission that we have to really lead and step forward. And Lewis was the right leader, and the best opportunity that we had was to make that, have that meeting, come in here and meet him, and he already started taking notes and writing down names of who he wanted to bring involved. And I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners today that say, I want to do that too. I want to be there to support Lewis and support the MS Society.
Well, I am truly honored and humbled and blushing a little bit. And I want to, and that's saying a lot, because I'm not scared of anything except lawyers and snakes.
Fair.
And for the record, he is an attorney.
I am a lawyer.
By nature.
But I do want to thank our friends at Ernst & Young, Blake Manners, a good friend and colleague, for introducing me to Sherry Ellis and the National MS Society. And I want to thank my dear friend and colleague, Jay Olander, who's serving as our dinner chair for the event. And it's a little bit touchy-feely, but Capital Square is in the business of investing in real estate. We have 110 assets. That's $6 billion of real estate, and that's really important. It's important to our investors who have retirement needs, who need money to live on, want to have a happy life, but it's a whole nother level when you have a disease. And so we have to look beyond our business, which is making money, to what we call Capital Square Cares, where we use the resources, use our energy, use our money to do good. And we are definitely here to do more than just buy the best real estate in the world and to manage it at the best you can manage it and to make the most money you can make. Absolutely, we do all those things, but then we take that energy and we do more. And this is our chance to give back.
And what a valuable statement that you just made. It's an investment. And we're investing in people's lives. We're investing in that cure. And that's exactly what Capital Square is bringing to this dinner and you as our honoree.
We're going to attack it just like a real estate investment.
I like it.
We're going to jump in with both feet. We've already started our due diligence. That's what you do in real estate. That's what lawyers do. You conduct due diligence. We started by researching. This is part of our research. We met a patient who you introduced us to as a part of our due diligence, because there's no way to know what it's like without talking to someone who is experiencing it. And the person you introduced us to is absolutely delightful. For 24 years, she said she's been in pain all the time. Can you imagine being in pain all the time? I mean, I had a shoulder surgery and hurt for 60 days and thought my life was over. It's now day 70, so I feel really great. But can you imagine? I mean,
right.
For 60
right.
days, it was horrible. Can you imagine 24 years of every
right.
day being horrible? Not knowing if you're going to cramp up, not knowing if you're going to be able to walk to work, not knowing if people look at you funny at work. I almost don't know what to say.
Well, there is a lot of uncertainty, you know, when you're diagnosed with an incurable disease. What does that look like tomorrow and today?
So I guess we should ask Dr. Goldman, how does it look? How's the future look for people like Tracy that need a cure?
Thank you so much for including me in this conversation. I think that broadly, I would say that the cure is in reach. There is work to be done, and I think that Sherry outlined sort of the tripart mission. And so for somebody like the woman that you met, the component that is really important in the concept of cure is restore. And so for that individual, preventing MS isn't the step necessary. It's really recovering, you know, the damage that has been done to get her to a place where she can live her life, you know, without pain and limitations and constraints. And so that's why when we're thinking about a cure, we have to think about it in a 360-degree view. One is to prevent MS in individuals who don't have it. The other is to arrest the process or progression in those who are already living with the disease. But then of really essential importance in this specific example, as well as for the million of individuals living with MS in the United States, we need to restore and repair function to get them back to their...
It's a triple.
Yeah.
It's a triple, which raises an interesting question before we jump into the technical part. You're much younger than I would have thought looking at your resume. You have 3 pages of bio and resume and curriculum vitae CV. And when, I'm just trying to get a sense of you as a person. When you were a little girl, mm-hmm. and other little girls, Jacqueline was playing hopscotch and braiding hair. And when you were a little girl, what were you thinking about that led to being a research doctor? Is that the best way to describe it?
Sure. Yeah, research doctor, clinical scientist. When I was a little girl, I guess it is fair to say I had a chemistry set and a microscope that my father bought me when I was 10. So I was in the basement, you know, trying not to blow up the house. But, you know, I think I was really drawn more specifically in my early years to the brain as a concept. And so I went to college to study neuroscience. And then through my interest in the central nervous system and the brain and how we sort of function in our most sort of personal and intimate ways as humans led me to medicine and then ultimately to neurology, of course, which is the study of the brain within medicine. So kind of that was my trajectory if we go back to my early years.
I won't ask you the Barbara Walters question. If you're an animal in another life, what it would have been?
Oh, goodness.
What would it have been?
Probably a dolphin.
Oh, that's a good one. They're very intelligent.
They're
very intelligent, and here we are with this tri-party goal, and maybe take a minute and talk about each of those pieces to cure. Was it the first was cure, the second is.
Well, we have the cure is in our mission statement. Okay. That is the ultimate. So it's stop the disease from progression, okay. Restore the functions that's been lost, okay. And end MS forever, which is cure.
Okay, so let's start with the first one, if you would, and tell us where we are and how the research is going.
So I think I'm not, I'll do it in the order I'm thinking, maybe not the order you laid them out. But I think that, you know, prevention is about recognizing what are the risk factors and how do we identify and intercede in somebody who is at risk. And so the National MS Society most recently has focused on sort of the prodrome, which is, you know, how do patients present before they have MS? And so was a huge funding effort to, and those grants have been selected and are currently funded and active to understand how do we identify MS before it happens. So that would be the step of kind of prevention, right? How do we know a person's going to have it before they have it, and then we can intercede.
What's the word you use?
Prodrome. So prodrome is the sort of the prequel, right, in a movie, like what happens before the thing happens.
Is that something in your DNA that can be detected?
Well, so it's a great question. So multiple sclerosis is, you know, not a genetic disease in the way you might think about Huntington's, where it's one specific gene that we know is abnormal. Multiple sclerosis is really a genetic predisposition. So people who have this disease have a composite of genetic factors that puts them at risk. So it's not going to be a single gene therapy like we have seen, for example, in muscular dystrophy or other disorders in neurology. And then it's that genetic risk that is coupled with some environmental factor, some environmental exposure. And that's part of our search currently is to understand what that is. And there's been a lot of interest in that recently and a lot of work in that space.
How would you detect the predisposition?
Well, I think that is the that's the unanswered question. I think that's what the current efforts are focused on in terms of identifying what are the signals, what are the red flags that we could be identifying in people who are at future risk. That's the current work that we're being.
If it's a snowflake, then you're, the sky's the limit, right? Everyone's unique.
Well, I think that maybe to contextualize the snowflake a little bit more, and I love that. I hadn't heard that before. I'm going to steal it, Sherry. So, but it's there's the risk, and then there's the manifestation of it, right? And so each person experiences the disease differently, but the trigger is likely common among the group. Many, many people buy a house, but the houses are all different. Right? And so you could think about it in that way. So getting MS is just buying the house, right? But each person, one might have an open floor plan, one might have a basement, one might have an attic.
Does that create a problem for medication? If everybody's house is different, how do you make tools and how do you make floors and ceilings when they're all different?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I think that the way that we have to tackle the disease is, yes, medications have to be tailored for the individual to help, so someone who has an attic may not need the same medicine as, they don't need flood insurance if they don't have a basement, to bring
we're
it,
bringing this back to
bring
to
it
real
home to you, yes.
I look around you as pictures of nothing but our buildings, so our due diligence led us to a patient. And I absolutely fell off my chair when she said she's in pain all the time. It's been 24 years, and she was smiling and a happy person, and she's leading a great life and has kids and a family, but she's in pain all the time.
She had such a positive outlook because the treatment has evolved so much and because her life has become that much more manageable because of the efforts that both of you and the National MS Society are doing to cure the disease. For those of us in the audience or here at this table who are not as aware of the disease and we're just learning about it now, can we take a step back and talk about what challenges those who are impacted by MS face, just so that we have the full picture of what that looks like for somebody who's living with MS?
So to take a step back then, I think just broadly, the immune system is the part of the body that normally fights viruses or bacteria, protects against outside intruders. In a disease like multiple sclerosis, which is an autoimmune disease, the immune system attacks the body rather than an outside intruder. And so every organ of the body is vulnerable to autoimmune disease. So if it happens in the joint, we call that rheumatoid arthritis. If it happens in the gut, we call that Crohn's disease. If it happens in the brain and spinal cord, what we call the central nervous system, that's multiple sclerosis. So these individuals, their immune system is attacking their body rather, and then those attacks lead to damage and scarring in the central nervous system. And of course, the central nervous system is involved in every part of what we do, our walking, our vision, our experience of pain, thinking, all of these things. And so that's where that snowflake manifestation occurs. So while every person has autoimmune activity in the brain and spinal cord, where it happens, the location is going to change their expression of the disease. And so one person might have weakness, whereas another person might have more visual impairment. So that's where we get that individualization of the experience.
Is it irreparable?
Yeah, so the damage that happens currently leaves scarring. And so that brings us to that issue of restoring. So for people who have been living with the disease, their central nervous system, their brain and spinal cord have scars throughout, and they are left with damage and functional disruption from the injury. And so then those individuals need to receive care that repairs the nervous system. So that's another domain of what we need to focus on.
And if I could add a piece to that, another analogy of the MS meaning many scars, right?
Oh.
But everyone has a cell phone charger, and that cable that connects, right? After you use that charger and you've plugged your phone in over and over and over, it starts to fray. And what happens is that your phone doesn't charge as quickly, or it doesn't hold it. Well, it's very much, it could mimic your spine, and then those pieces as the myelin attacks that, it starts losing those connections, losing that, you know, and where it affects you on your myelin sheath, where that affects you in your brain, your eyes, your speech, your walking, you know, all of those different pieces are, it's a way of, another analogy of thinking about how MS attacks the...
Did you say myelin?
Myelin is a... Go ahead, Myla. Talk about the myelin.
I was just wondering about your
There's
name.
There's a scientist. No, that's
right. Did your parents pick your name for this
they
job?
They did. They did. And as an aside, my initials are MD Goldman. So they were very premonescent.
Parents must be so proud. My daughter, the doctor.
So the axons, the railways of the nervous system have a coding called myelin, and that coding ensures that messages are carried efficiently and effectively across the body. And so the autoimmune, the attack of the immune system is on the codings. So it leaves these pathways vulnerable and inefficient and dysfunctional. Mm-hmm.
And I love these analogous examples. I'm a visual person, so this is helpful to see the cell phone charger. We've all been there before.
Yes.
And to see the snowflake.
Yes.
This makes sense. Dr. Goldman, what do your patients say is the worst part of this disease? And that may be different for each patient.
I think that because it's so variable in its presentation, I don't know that that collectively patients identify a single part. I think that, and I will often say to patients in the office, you know, what is the thing, what is the aspect of MS that's preventing you from doing what you want to do tomorrow, right? So it might be walking for one, it might be fatigue for another, it might be coordination for one. You know, I have a patient who is a music teacher, right? So her hand dexterity is very, very important. I have a patient who is, you know, a physician, so like vision, you know, very important. So each person's life, the impairment is going to impact them very differently. So for each individual, the sort of unique aspect of their disease. But I would say that the other maybe overarching, to come back to your question, the overarching or thread, common thread, is the uncertainty and the inability to live their life the way that they want to. It's really just being limited in what they want to do. Maybe that's the theme. Yeah.
I think that I wanted to add that the Dinner of Champions is really a fundraising event, but you know, tandem to that is about awareness. And I think just having us here and having this conversation, which is going to reach your listenership, is hugely impactful, because through this and through your work and conversations and effort, we're reaching people who may not have been thinking about this disease. And so I think that that is as important. And I just want to really thank you and acknowledge your efforts to increase awareness and bring this conversation into the rooms and homes of people who maybe wouldn't otherwise hear about MS. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. That was great, Marwa.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square. Join us next week at the same time to hear more about tax advantage real estate investing and maybe some other interesting causes that shows that Capital Square cares. Invest locally, invest nationally, invest with Capital Square on a tax advantage basis. And together, we can invest in ending MS forever. Help us win the cure.
Living in the sweet Virginia breeze. Sweet Virginia breeze.
The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.
Living in the sweet Virginia.